Today we are going to learn the second half of Hilchos Beis Abchira Perek Gimel, and we are going to be learning the halachas from Halacha Yud Beis through Halacha Yud Ches, not exactly in the order that the Rambam sets it up, but all the toichen that the Rambam explains. Today we are going to be learning about three of the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash, namely the kiyor, the Mizbeach HaKtoides, the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the inner Mizbeach, and the Shulchan, where they had the Lechem Aponim. So you're about to, a Kohen is about to do the Avoida Mibifnim. So obviously before you, someone can enter the Kodesh, the Ulam, they're going to have to be Mekadesh Yodo Veraglov. They have to wash their hands and their feet. And that is done by the Kiyor. The Kiyor was towards the south side also, the left side of the Zohar, right before the Ulam, the Heichal. And it was a water basin that had 12 spouts coming out of it. 12 spouts. And therefore the Kohanim that were dealing with the Korban Tamid, they could all be mekadesh their hands, you know, themselves, all at once, right before they did the avoida. Now, right next to the kiyor, there was a muchni. A muchni would be what they call a contraption called a pulley. Now, there's actually a machloikis, what was the job of the muchni? And it's interesting that there seems to be a Rambam himself in two different places brings two different biurim. But the Rambam over here says the following thing. Again, you have to understand a halachic issue. Halachic issue is that any kli shoris, anything that keli, which is officially kodesh, if water stays in it overnight, it becomes pasul belina. It becomes pasul in the fact that water stayed overnight. Now, the kiyor is this major water basin, and it's always going to have water. So you don't want to have water staying overnight. It makes the water puzzle and any water going in. So how do you deal with that issue? So according to the Rambam over here, they created this mukhni. The mukhni was basically, there was a little well of water. And then you had this pulley, which like a big bucket on it, that would collect water and have in this bucket. Now this bucket was not a kli kodesh. Anytime the kiyor needed water, you would take from this bucket and fill up the kiyor. When this bucket became empty, they would send it back to the little well that was there, pick up more water, so on and so forth. So was the kiyor stayed in its place, and then there was another bucket that filled up the kiyor. According to David, and it seems to the Rambam himself in other places, the other way of understanding this contraption was the actual kiyor moved. And by the kiyor spending the night on top of a mayon, on top of a well, so the water was now not pusle. It wasn't like in a kli overnight because it was connected to the water. So that's another way of understanding how this muchni worked. But over here in Hilchos Beis Abchira, the Rambam says that the kiyor stayed in its place and the water filler went back and forth between the kiyor and the well. So now we are entering the Kodesh. Right before we enter, we are going to notice two tables. One made out of marble, shayish, and one made out of gold. These two tables were for the Lechem Haponim. Like we're soon going to learn about the Shulchan, that we had a special table for the Lechem Haponim. Now, the Lechem Haponim was baked Friday, but it was put on Shabbos onto the Shulchan. So while the hot bread was waiting to go onto the Shulchan, it was on a marble table. Now, why was it on a marble table? Some Mefarshim explain that if it would be gold or silver, it attracts heat, and you put hot bread on it, it would cause the bread to spoil a little bit. It would get into the bread. However, marble would keep it cool. And however, the Shulchan being gold, when it was brought out, we know there's Mailim Bakoidish Vein Moiridin. You cannot lower something in holiness, and therefore, if it was on a golden table before, so even when you take it off the Shulchan and it's being brought out for the Kehanim to split up, it also went on a golden table. So you had a marble table for the bread going in and a golden table for the bread going out. When you walked into the Kodesh, again, you had three kelim that you saw. But the one staring at you straight in the face was the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Now, keep an understanding that the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim all together was 60 Amis. And all the kelim were in the middle third, which would mean that you would have to walk 20 Amis till you reached at least the first keli. It was in the middle third, closer to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So when I say that the Mizbeach was right in your face, doesn't mean you walked right into it. You still had to walk good 20 Amis in the Kodesh, but the first keli that you would actually meet of the three would be the Mizbeach. And it was a reverse triangle with the Menorah on your left, the Shulchan on your right, and the one right in the middle, the Mizbeach HaPnimi, was actually the middle one which you met first. It was closer to the one going in, and it was right in the middle. So that's the way it was set up. Tell you a little bit about this Mizbeach, the Mizbeach HaKtoides. This Mizbeach was an Amma by an Amma, so there was no part of it that was more length, or the width was bigger, it was square. Amma by an Amma. And it was put right in the middle. And that's the way the Mizbeach HaKtoides, those are the basic measurements of the Mizbeach HaKtoides. We already explained in our previous year all the details of the Menorah. And now we're going to talk a little bit about the Shulchan itself. Again, the Shulchan is going to be used to put the Lechem HaPonim. So, the Shulchan was not a square. It was a rectangle, meaning that one side is going to be bigger than the other side. It was 12 tvachim, which would be the equivalent of 2 ames, because each ama is 6 tvachim. It was 12 tvachim by 6 tvachim, which 2 ames by 1 ames. So you have this rectangle, which would be like this siddur, which I'm holding in my hand, which would be approximately the length is double the width. Now, which way was the Shulchan placed? Was the longer side, the length, east to west, which would be like the Oirech HaMishkan, or was the length side, the longer side, north to south, which would be like the Menorah or like the Roichev HaMishkan? Which way was the table set up? So the Rambam says, Arkoi l'Oirech HaMishkan v'Roichvoi k'Roichev HaMishkan. Means that the longer side, when you walked into the Kodesh, you actually saw the width of the Shulchan, because the length of the Shulchan was Oirech ka'Oirech HaMishkan. The length was going along the length of the Mishkan, and the Roichev was going along the Roichev HaMishkan. Now, you had 12 big loaves of bread, which were going to be put on the Shulchan 6 by 6. 6 loaves and 6 loaves. Now, it's very easy for these loaves to fall off, you also don't want to put loaves on each other, because bread sitting on bread could compress the bread and ruin the bread. So what did they do? So let's first talk about what went in between each bread and how it was set up on the Shulchan. You had these small, small little rods, 28 rods, 14 for each side. Now, how did they set up these 14 rods? You took the first bread, and that you put on the Shulchan itself, because you have a full table, you have full support. But now you need to put a little hefsik between the loaves. So they put 3 rods on top of the first bread, and on those 3 rods you put the second loaf. According to this cheshbon, Bochum should be asking, you're all well aware, that if you have 6 loaves, and you have, between 6 loaves, you have 5 divisions. because the top loaf, there's nothing on top of it, and the bottom loaf is directly on the shulchan. And if you have three rods between each loaf, there should be 15 rods, not 14. So why is there 14 rods and not 15? So the Rambam explains that being that the top loaf, there was no pressure on top of it, there was less weight, so they only put two rods between loaf 5 and loaf 6. They didn't need the full three rods. They put two rods, circular rods, between row 5 and row 6. So it comes out that there were 14 rods on one side of the shulchan and 14 rods on the second side of the shulchan. Now, in addition to that, you had to support these breads. They could fall off. They need support from the sides. So we had these four supportive beams. Now these beams, they actually were Y-shaped. That means they had a long middle, thin middle branch. And on the top, they split off like a Y. So that kept the loaves, you know, separate and intact. So on each side, you had two rows of six chalos. Each side had two support beams from either side, two per column, so four altogether, and that kept the bread supported that it should not fall down. Now, these, in addition, you have the actual like little pans, but they're more like shovels, not pans. And what would be in these shovels? In these shovels, they would put the lavoina, the different spices. And then you had the actual pans where they baked the lechem aponim. They had to be in certain pans. And these pans were obviously, there were 12 of them in order to make the lechem aponim. Now, if you open up the Torah, you'll find in Parshas Truma different names for the parts of the shulchan. It tells you about Ksoisav, and then it speaks about Menachiyosav, and Kapoisav, and Karoisav. Which of these kalim are those words? So the Ksoisav, those are the support beams. That's what the Torah says, Ksoisav, those are the support beams. When the Torah speaks about Menachiyosav, those are the little rods which went between the loaves of bread, the 28 rods, those are the Menachiyosav. The Kapoisav, which, you know, would be like a spoon almost, those are the shovels that held the spices, the Lavoina. And the Kairoisav, the which literally translates as the plates, those were the pans. And these were obviously special shaped in order to have the lechem aponim, those are the karoisav of the shulchan. So altogether, now you have a much clearer understanding of the kalim. We learned the menorah, we learned the shulchan, we learned the mizbeach hapnimi, as well as the kiyor.